It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, yeah, the NFL's back tomorrow with Baltimore and Kansas City kicking it off to talk about everything NFL. He joins us every football season. On the line is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. That was awful. I tried way too hard on that. Mayo game day be delicious.
Karma's really coming back to get you, Nick.
It really is. Although, honestly, I never proclaimed to be able to talk. They just gave me this job. Ross now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Sorry for butchering the most important thing there, Ross, the read.
You know what's so funny? This is like the fourth or fifth one I've done this week. And knowing that I'm sponsored, My insider hits are sponsored by Hellman's Mayonnaise, and knowing that read, I legitimately have been looking forward to hearing you do that. Like, I was like, it is going to be hilarious when Nick does that, because he's going to be all in on it.
And then I went all in into the embankment. Ross, let me guess. You like the Browns roster, but you aren't sure about Deshaun Watson, and that's holding back your expectations, yes?
Yeah, I hate being unoriginal, but of course. I mean, in all sincerity, how can anyone who's smart or logical have any other opinion other than that? I mean, I think everybody feels the same way. They have a really good team, really good roster, love the GM, love the head coach. If the quarterback can perform like a top 15 player at that position, they can be as good as anyone in the AFC, because I really do feel like, other than Kansas City, feels like Baltimore is taking a little bit of a step back, feels like Buffalo is taking a little bit of a step back. It feels like there's absolutely an opportunity there to at least get to maybe a conference championship game. You know, I think Houston's probably in that mix as well. That opportunity is there if Deshaun Watson's able to salvage it and take it.
Ross, along those lines, is this the last chance for Deshaun to prove to everybody that he can still be that great quarterback that he used to be in Houston? Because we've been doing this now for 3 years with different circumstances, of course, the suspension, the injuries, all that, where we're like, that guy's still in there somewhere. He just needs time. Let it come out. Now, this year we're doing it again and, you know, holding out hope. But if he doesn't prove it this year, are we going to be doing the same exact song and dance again next year?
So that's the most interesting aspect of it, and probably what every NFL owner other than Jimmy Haslam is rooting for, right? You know, the dream for these other NFL owners would be if Deshaun Watson's an absolute disaster this year, or even honestly, sounds terrible to say, or even honestly, if he gets hurt, because then he will become the poster child for why you should not give NFL players 5-year fully guaranteed contracts. And he will become a cautionary tale, because the Browns will be on the hook for 2 more years with a player that presumably at that point they won't even want anymore, and certainly won't want to be their starting quarterback, and they'll be in a really, really bad spot. So typically, I feel like a lot of fan bases root for the Browns. I do, because of what the fans have been through and how loyal they are and how amazing Browns fans are. But I would imagine every NFL owner, you know, other than their own team winning this year, their second most important thing is that Deshaun Watson sucks. That's basically what they're rooting for.
Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker with us. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. In terms of the slate of games this weekend, where does this Cleveland-Dallas game rank amongst week one matchups for you?
Well, the two best matchups are Thursday and Friday night. You know, I mean, every Tuesday on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, I do my power rankings, and those two games represent four of my top six teams. I think I have Kansas City 1, Baltimore 6, and I have Philadelphia 4, and the Packers 5. So Thursday night and Friday night are kind of the biggest games and where it's at this weekend. I would still probably put Jets-Niners because of the intrigue as it relates to Aaron Rodgers ahead of your game. I would say the Browns-Cowboys is sort of there with Rams-Lions for me in terms of games I'm excited for. I would say it's probably the best game of the Sunday 1 and Sunday 4 o'clock slate. And, you know, certainly there's a lot of intrigue about every aspect of the game. The Cowboys have had a wild offseason. Doesn't really seem like they're actually trying to get better at winning football games, which is an interesting approach. And so that's noticeable. And then, you know, obviously everything around the Browns, but then it's Tom Brady's debut. What time's your reservation with him Friday night, Nick? I forget.
I believe it's going to be about 7:30. Me, him, couple IG models, my wife. You know, same old Friday night.
Where would you take him? You'd probably take him to like Old Country Buffet or something.
No. Der Dutchman on 271, or honestly, Bob, you can never go wrong with Bob Evans.
I don't know if Bob Evans has a single thing on the menu that Brady would put in his body.
No avocado toast there.
So where do you set the bar? Given that Nick Saban's killing it on College Game Day, given that Bill Belichick freshly killing it on IG and on all of his media ventures, where do you set the bar for Tom Brady's NFL debut as a broadcaster in this Dallas-Cleveland game?
So what I would tell you, first of all, is that I wouldn't say any of it is easy, but calling a game is much, much harder than what Saban and Belichick have been doing. You know, being asked questions and answering them is a very natural thing that those guys have done for years. They just previously answered them, I don't even know what the nice way to say it is, but in a disparaging manner at times. That's not the right word, but you know what I'm saying. And now, Brady, this is a lot different. I'm really curious. I know that he's done several mock games, which is really helpful, and I know that he'll be super prepared. I'm curious to see I guess sort of the non-football part of it. You know, like, does he know when to not say anything? Does he know when to just kind of show your personality and joke around? I'll be curious to see the level of energy. You know, knowing him a little bit and having been teammates with him, he probably has worked on this, but my expectation would be him getting very, very frustrated by guys that screw up and do dumb things and expressing that, right? Like that's my experience with him when it comes to professional football. You know, he's got a very, very, and by the way, I would include himself in that. Like if he would mess up at practice, he would lose it on himself. Like he would get so ticked off at himself. Like he really, really holds everyone to a high standard. And so I'm just trying to picture the first time, you know, a receiver runs the wrong route or Watson or Prescott screws up. I'll be curious to see if he reacts to it calmly or if his blood starts to boil, because I know for a fact it really bothers him.
See, Ross, I was envisioning more so if Brady makes a mistake, like he says a wrong name or something, and then his microphone's still hot and we just hear himself giving himself a pep talk into the microphone. He's like banging on his head like he still has his football helmet on.
You know, I'll be curious to see, obviously, what the reaction is for him. And to how he does, number one, and then number two, how he responds to the reaction. I guess he's somewhat used to having people criticize him and all that stuff on social media, but not like this. I mean, you know, I would love to see what social media would be like now if John Madden was still a color commentator. Because nowadays, like, I think John Madden's the best ever. I adore him, and I love him. But yet, I don't know, 25% of the people would probably be like, this guy keeps talking about dumb stuff and not football.
Turduckins.
You know, this guy said something bad about my team. Like, it's just social media has sort of skewed people's viewpoint as it relates to how analysts do.
Ross, what do you see as the ceiling for Browns wins this year and the floor for Browns wins this year?
So I think it's a pretty wide variance, I would say. I think if Watson gets back to playing really well, you know, 12-5, maybe even 13-4. But the division's really tough. So that sort of halts my enthusiasm a little bit. If Watson doesn't play well, I think it could really get ugly. I think, you know, Amari Cooper, the frustration would be high. And Njoku, for sure, who was so much more productive with Flacco than he's ever been with Watson. That's a real dynamic there. And I think it's why, I don't think anybody ever asked Stefanski this or Andrew Berry, but, and maybe this is the sense you guys have. Tell me if you think I'm wrong. But I guess I've always assumed that they didn't bring back Flacco for that very dynamic, because they didn't want, if Watson struggled the first game or two, for people to start to call for Flacco. And so I really felt like that was why the Browns didn't bring him back, which is such a weird thing. But I guess it's understandable, but that was my assumption. I don't think that they look at Winston as an upgrade. Maybe they do.
Ross, in a little bit, Nick and I are going to get into this. The Athletic put out a hope-o-meter for the NFL fan bases this season.
I think it's a hope-o-meter. A hope-o-meter? I don't know.
Sounds like I said hobo-meter. That's a completely different thing.
Yeah, which is for basically how we gauge to see how I look on any given day.
When you put dashes in between the O and meter, it threw me off. What fan base should be the most hopeful going into the NFL season?
Maybe Houston Texans? Well, I guess if you're talking hope, I think I can see Commanders fans and Bears fans having the most hope going into the season, right? Because haven't made the playoffs in a while, haven't had a lot of things to really be hopeful for, and now you got a top pick quarterback that really looks like he might have something. That's probably the answer. It's probably the most hope should be Bears and Commanders. I don't think to win it, but to be significantly improved and to feel like for the first time in a long, long time, they have the guy. Like, they've got the franchise guy. I mean, the Bears have, like, never had that guy. The Commanders, I don't know. You know what's weird about that? Even when the Commanders were called the Redskins and they were winning Super Bowls, they didn't really have, like, a, you know, Joe Gibbs won Super Bowls with three different guys. It's not like they had, like, this one guy. They didn't even have, like, a Bernie Kosar, this is our guy, for years and years. They went from Theismann to Doug Williams to Jay Schrader to Mark Rippon. So I think the hope has to be really high for those franchises, higher than anybody else, that they might actually have, like, a 10-plus-year quarterback for the first time, I think, in either franchise history.
All right, Ross, we're going to let you go, but I want you to hear the outro so you finally get this read the way you deserve it, because you're one of our favorite guests all football season long. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious.
Good Love help. It. And by the way, here's the thing. Genius move by Hellman's and by Odyssey, because whether people are laughing or they're cringing, they will never forget it. May you all have a terrific Sunday, and may I wish good luck to the Browns. That didn't work.
By the way, Laugh Cringe should be the name of the show. Ross, great stuff, buddy.
Thanks, Ross.
See you, dude. Later, dude.
Ah, there we go. Yeah, I might have butchered that first read, but if he had said, see you, dudes, I would have been furious if he had not corrected it to later, dudes. I think what people are missing is maybe they thought Joe Flacco had left all his magic in Cleveland. I think that might be the one, just to add to, because that was Ross Tucker. He joined us in the last segment. He's with us every football season. I think we need to just indulge the idea that maybe the Browns looked at the six games they got from Joe and thought it was a little fluky. Maybe, just maybe, no matter how much they love Joe Flacco, but you won't be ready for the start of the season to begin unless you hear Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin and what they have to say during their podcast. It's always game day in Cleveland. Subscribe to this podcast at 923thefan.com, the free Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast. Sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. So I answered the Joe Flacco thing. For the clip at large, what's your reaction to what Ross had to say there?
I thought similar to David earlier, like the idea that this is Deshaun's kind of last chance. I thought his spin on it was fascinating, though. Like the idea that, which I guess is not really a secret. Maybe it's like secret because the owners aren't saying it publicly. But the idea that if this doesn't work out with Deshaun this year, that they start to use it as like the poster child of, well, hey, this is why you don't give out fully guaranteed contracts, and then the Haslams get like shunned for that reason for years to come. Not that it matters, but
you know, honestly,
among all the owners,
I think everyone's just gonna. I think the response by the agents are gonna be they just paid the wrong guy.
Well, yeah,
but if you
well,
have
that
like,
is true, but that doesn't stop the owners though from being stubborn about like that might be true, but. They're gonna cling to that. Like you know, they cling to everything. They're making it hard for Tom Brady. I was talking about this earlier today with somebody. Like all the hoops that Tom Brady has to jump through right now while he's starting his broadcasting career.
Thoughts and prayers, by the way.
I just mean like he's not allowed to show up to the team facilities and like talk to players. Like I'm sure he has a lot of these guys' numbers. He can just hit them up anyway, which is kind of the ironic part of all this. But like they're making it very hard for him to both be a broadcaster and own part of the Raiders. So like they get it. You know how these owners are. Like they get very territorial. They get in these modes where they're like, well, we don't want that to happen. So they just cling to whatever. So they'll cling to the Deshaun thing for years to come as the reason why, even though to your point, the agents will be out there like, guys, they just paid the wrong guy.
So I want to get back to something Ross had to say. And I think any team in the NFL you can say has a wide variance. Like, honestly, people thought Kansas City was going to win 15 games last year. They were the third seed and had to go to the Super Bowl the hard way. That's the rare team. Like, I think almost every team in the NFL you can paint a four-win swing. Like, think about it. Baltimore could be a 14-win team. Baltimore could win 10 games.
Yeah.
So I guess my thing is, I understand if you look at the Browns and go, well, because of Deshaun and the way the last 2 years have gone, the Browns might have an extra added wide variance. Their variance has been 4 wins. Without Deshaun and with a bad defense 2 years ago, they were, what, a 7-win team?
Yeah.
And then last year, with a much improved defense, 5 games of Deshaun and 5 different quarterbacks, they won 11 games. So I think we're wrong. I think the whole, like, yes, every team in the NFL, almost every team has a wide variance. Well, there are very few teams with a locked in 2-game, 3-game window. I think we're missing. I think the one thing I disagree with every national person we've had and will have, I think you're underestimating the Browns' floor. I think it is so much higher. I think there's floors like 9 wins. I think there's so much talent. There's so much continuity. And I'm all here for the schedule's tougher. But I think it would be a massive critical failure if you won less than 9 games this year, because this isn't a young team. This is a team that is primed to win and is coming off a year where they won in spite of the health of their quarterback. So I know that I can't expect them to win 11 games again, but the idea that if Deshaun has injury problems again, it's a 6-win team. No, because I don't think we...
Well, that's out the window after last year. I mean, I don't think any of these fans should feel
yes.
that I think last year you lost Nick Chubb week 2, and that was the most devastating thing ever, because we know how much Nick Chubb is adored by this fan base, by the city, all that. But it was like, but the fans found solace in the idea of like, all right, well, you know what this means? Deshaun's got to play up to the level that we expect him to play up to, and if he does that, then maybe we start to like Deshaun more and maybe this team can go places. Like, that was kind of what we all cling to. Next was like, okay, yeah, it sucks that Nick Chubb's out, but this offense is supposed to be built for this guy. Let's see what he can do. And then he gets hurt and it was like, well, now we're just screwed. And then they weren't screwed. And so now I think, like, if Deshaun Watson were to get hurt again, I think people would still have, and I think they should still have high expectations for this team, for Jameis Winston to step in and take over, because frankly, like, we saw them do it last year. Like, there's no scenario now where you feel like this team shouldn't be at least competitive enough to get to what you're saying is like a floor of 9 games potentially.
I'm totally okay if you say if Deshaun isn't healthy this year, or if Deshaun has a bad year, however you want to frame it. I'm totally okay with somebody saying not a playoff team. Okay, yeah, it's really hard to make the playoffs. It is a tough division. I accept all of the generalities that everyone said about their schedule, about this conference, and about this division. But, like, to me, because this gets back to something that I think continues to happen. There's this convenient framing that happens in our minds that it's all on the player. And if the player doesn't succeed, well, that player failed. And the more I've watched the NFL, and the more that I've paid attention, more often than not, it's 50-50. It is 50% on the player, and certainly at quarterback, it's 50%. You got to do the work. You got to be a good teammate. You got to stay out of trouble. You got to know your bleep. You have to be physically talented. But I think to absolve, because I think if you're saying, well, it's all about Deshaun, and it's your win and your ceiling and your floor, all about Deshaun, I don't think that's how this thing's built. I think the reason why the Browns went all in again for Deshaun is to give him a chance to get some positive football under his feet. So then next year, maybe you can skimp a little bit more and you don't have to have Jimmy Haslam paying $400 million for a team. So but I think getting back to it, if you say, well, it's all on Deshaun or it's boom or bust on Deshaun, it's like, well, okay, do you think the last 2 years are only because of Deshaun? Because I don't. I think I think some of the success was in spite of where his limitations were after the injury, but I think most of the success was in spite of the injury itself.
I mean, I think as people have lowered their expectations for Deshaun, which drives me insane, but with the people that feel that way, like, I think you could say that this season also is a lot on the defense, because if you're worried about Deshaun not playing well, then you're expecting the defense to kind of carry this team much like they did last year for stretches and win them a lot of football games. So I think we get wrapped up in the it's all about Deshaun thing because, I mean, I think last year was different. Last year we were going in and it was like, well, if this team has a bad year, now we're talking, you know, coaching changes and GM changes and all those different things. And now those guys have solidified their status with the team. They went out, they made the playoffs despite all the tough circumstances and the injuries and all this different stuff. And so now we feel good about, like, Kevin Stefanski's the guy. And so the reason we put all that on Deshaun now is, like, now he has to prove that he's the right guy for this group that's here. So I get why, like, that's the last kind of missing piece in all this is, like, well, if Deshaun plays well, that team last year that survived all those injuries, maybe they now can be a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah,
so
but
I get
just,
it.
Just in that but, thing, though, that because, again, I'm not trying to pick nits here, but you said now it's on Deshaun to prove that he's the right guy for the scenario. Totally understand that half of the logic. Isn't it on the Browns to also prove they're actually going to run an offense that fits the quarterback?
And that's why you change offensive coordinators and you change the offense again.
Okay,
and
but you changed the offense last year with the same principal people, and the offense looked the same damn way it did the previous 2 years. Like it was the West Coast offense by Gary Kubiak.
And that was a flaw in the machine, I guess, in terms because it was funny that they spent the entire offseason last year saying, we built this offense for Deshaun. It's all about him, blah, blah, blah. And then to your point, it looked very similar. And what do you know? The offense looked its best when a quarterback came out who was more equipped to run the West Coast system than Joe Flacco and was finding David Njoku for 800 yards and whatever. Like, and that's why he had a Pro Bowl season, because Joe Flacco basically earned it for him.
I think it's so easy. I think it's almost low-hanging fruit to vilify Deshaun any more than he's been vilified. I'm not here to adjudicate what happened.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm here to say this is a two-party thing we got going on here. Yes, Deshaun is the face of the whole party itself, the whole Cleveland Browns organization. But it is also incumbent on the Browns to follow through on their end. In a way, they haven't the first two years of this deal, with how the offense has been mishmashed, and we're going to run the West Coast, which the guy's never run in his career. He's run some combination of the New England offense that Tom Brady ran and a spread offense. So, like, that's to me where I totally get it. But if we start talking about the floor, if the floor's any lower than 9 games, it's not just going to be that Deshaun had health issues. It's going to be you failed to put this guy in the right spot. That can be true as much as, hey, Deshaun's got to stay healthy and Deshaun's got to produce.
But so I guess I would argue a little bit back and just say, so if this year Deshaun struggles and we're going to look back and say, well, they didn't do enough for Deshaun, like, what's the cutoff point for that? Like, what's the cutoff point where we're like, okay, now they've done enough for Deshaun and we just know that Deshaun isn't good?
No, this is perfect. If they institute an offense that looks like it did in Houston and Deshaun still struggles, totally fair.
Okay, so if this offense is supposed to be that. So if he struggles this year, that goes back to my question, I guess, for Ross and for David, where it's like, is this his last chance to prove that now that they've apparently put the offense in place for him to succeed?
Where do you guys set the floor for the Browns this season? I have no problem in saying wide variance. That's a kind of a nebulous idea there. I set the floor at 9 games. If they win any less than 9 games, even if Deshaun plays 5 games again this year, it'll be a massive failure. Even if they miss the playoffs, you can talk me into that. But if Deshaun is healthy and this team continues to be able to do what they did last year, there's no reason that 9 wins, guys, even if Deshaun isn't healthy, there's no reason 9 wins, anything less than that is an egregious offense by the Cleveland Browns and or Deshaun. The simplest way I can put it, because here's the thing, guys, this is all being set up in the minds of fans that if this doesn't go well, the easy fall guy is Deshaun. The problem is the guys who made the decision to bring in Deshaun and then maybe didn't put Deshaun in the best possible scenario are still going to be running the organization. Do not mistake that for me saying fire everybody. My point is, if you put everything on Deshaun and don't look at the Browns and go, well, hey, you made this decision and then kind of half-assed the rollout, it's on you. So here's the better way I look at the idea of their floor. I think Deshaun determines your ceiling. Deshaun's going to determine the difference between 9 wins and 14 wins. I think everything else determines the floor. And like, if you look at when they've bottomed out, it has been like, okay, was Jacoby Brissett the greatest quarterback ever? No, but that offense is not why you won 7 games that year. No, it was the defense. It was a defense that just had bad scheme, not enough talent, and not enough depth. Those are three killers. Well, I don't have a problem with any of the three things defensively or offensively, other than Deshaun's health. So that's how I look at it. It's less a defense of Deshaun, and it is, to me, Deshaun determines the difference between 9 wins and 13 wins, and every other thing, which bodes well, determines whether your floor is 6 wins or 9 wins.
Well, and I think a bigger picture, you know, we talk about, like, what's the standard for the Browns now that they did what they did last year? What's the expectation that you have? And maybe I'm wrong, but, like, I the sense that I get, and I think it kind of comes hand in hand with people tempering their expectations for Deshaun, where they're like, well, hey, we went from saying when they traded for him, we finally have a franchise quarterback, Super Bowl, Super Browns, we're doing the Super Bowl, Super Browns channel, all these different things, to then now in year 3, it's like, well, if he can just be average, you know, we could really do some things because our defense is really good. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, to your point on like what the floor versus what the ceiling should be, if Deshaun is, if our expectation shouldn't change on Deshaun and we still think he should be that good, then I do think that he should be able to help you reach those ceiling type numbers that you're referencing, 13 wins, 14 wins, whatever it might be. And I think you're right. Like everything else establishes where your floor is. So for me, like, yeah, I think 9 wins is a fine floor to be like, if they don't get to at least that, then this season didn't go as it should have. I mean, the Steelers, they get to 9 wins, you know, rolling around like it while they're asleep at the wheel half the time with the quarterbacks that they trot out there and some of the guys they trot out there, they figure it out. So if the Browns can't do that in this division, then like, yeah, I think it's a failure. And that's why I've sort of set my standard at this team is good enough now to truly win. If the only thing that we're sitting here saying is, well, we don't know what Deshaun's going to give you, and that's the thing that's the difference between you being a Super Bowl contender or not, then to me, the standard should be, this team should be an AFC title contender. It should.
You gave me a few things on this. I just have to say, the idea that people haven't readdressed their expectations after 2 years is insane to me.
Well, I just think based
like
on...
You don't, but like, if the housing market is failing, you don't go... I'm sorry. 2 years ago, the housing market was really great. My expectations were everything was going to be hunky-dory. And find a way to pay your damn mortgage.
To be clear, like I could be reading the situation wrong, too. I just feel like fans...
Bad analogy by me.
I just feel like fans... I don't know if it's like they were so used to losing for so long, and now you got the taste of the playoffs in 2020, and now things have changed massively since then. And so they got another taste of it last year where it was like, well, hey, like this team's really surprised me last year because I didn't expect them to make the playoffs once everybody got hurt, and they still did it. And so I wonder if people are just kind of like, I'm okay with that again. I'm okay with just making the playoffs again because
What are you saying, just make the playoffs?
I'm not saying...
What's that mentality, just make the playoffs? When did making the playoffs in a loaded AFC and AFC North, when did that stop becoming something that was a tremendous accomplishment?
Oh, you're saying
yeah, I don't understand the just make the playoffs
because
thing.
You've done that now. Like you've done that multiple times.
Done that? Yes. Good. Do it again. Let's see where you go from there.
But to quote like Donovan Mitchell, like when the Cavs clinched a bye in the playoff or not a bye a home court advantage in the playoffs this past year, and everyone was like, "Oh, how does it feel?" Blah, blah, blah. And he was like, I mean, this is what we should do.
Donovan's been healthy and dominant for 2 years. Okay, and Deshaun Watson hasn't been healthy.
I wasn't trying to compare apples to apples, Deshaun Watson to Donovan Mitchell. I was using his line of how he basically said, yeah, we sort of plan on being in the playoffs. Like, that's not really that big of an accomplishment to us. I'm saying making the playoffs shouldn't be this thing where it's like, oh, well, if that happens, like, I'm good with the season. To me, like, that should be where this team should be anyway. I think I'm telling fans to dream bigger. Like, be excited. Have your expectation for Deshaun Watson be he's going to help us get to that 13-win ceiling that you're referencing. I think that's what it should be. I think it should be 13 wins.
The difference
I think
is
it should be make the AFC Championship game.
We're talking expectations
but
versus
I'm
dreams.
I'm saying that, to me, the AFC Championship game isn't a dream when you have the team that you have and you trade it for the quarterback that you supposedly traded
for. But see, then again, the last 2 years did happen. It's not as if anyone's making an excuse for Deshaun or the Browns by going, man, these last 2 years couldn't have gone worse. I have other bars that I need cleared this year before we can start talking about it. So again, I have no problem. If you think they can be the Super Bowl winning team.
But to me, they cleared all those bars. The only bar left is the one that we're arguing about is Deshaun.
You mean the most important bar? The bar that has not been cleared the last 2 years?
Yes, it's the most important bar, but I'm sitting here saying, if the Browns are saying this is the guy, if we're supposed to believe that they got this guy for that purpose, then yeah, my expectation this year should be when he's out there and they don't have a gazillion injuries happening at quarterback, at running back, wherever else, and this team can stay mostly healthy, then I do think this team can be a Super Bowl. And other people are using that as on the opposite end. They're like, well, if Deshaun just plays average, then the team's so good around him, then they can make the AFC Championship game anyway.
Either way, the
bar should be the AFC Championship game.
No, the bar, that's the problem, right? If we want to say expectation,
okay,
the goal in Buffalo...
The standard should be the AFC Championship game.
How is that different than expectation? Walk me through the parlance
using. I thought that's what we're talking about.
My point is, the idea that a team that got bounced out in the first round of the playoffs should magically, just because of Deshaun, who has not been healthy and or immensely productive the last 2 years, the fact that because that was the bar 2 years ago, it should be the bar now, that's hooey. All right? You're allowed to look at the last 2 years.
So you're going
to
be, you're scared or something? Like,
no,
I don't understand.
No. The
you're
point
like, oh,
is,
it's okay. Let's just make the playoffs. That's
is that
enough.
How I talk?
That's enough.
Ah, it's okay. Ah, we just made
Very
the playoffs.
Odd. No, if Deshaun plays 15 or more games and they go to the playoffs, you will not, and I promise you, there is no host in this town that will run down that accomplishment, even if they get waxed in the first round. There is, I'm telling you, I completely disagree.
I completely disagree.
Dude, I'm telling you.
Nick, we thought that the team last year with Joe Flacco leading them was going to magically make it to the AFC Championship game because we started looking at the schedule and we were like, oh, the Texans, first time playoff team, real young.
And we didn't melt down when it
and
happened.
And then they lost. And then we were already mapping it out like, oh, we'll go to Baltimore. We've already beat Baltimore in Baltimore. And then we'll end up in the AFC Championship game.
Did we say that was the expectation? Or
Once all the injuries happen? No, but I'm saying with the healthy Deshaun that the team is selling us on, he's going to be good, and we're supposed to believe that he's going to be this great thing that
going
gets
into
you
the
to
playoffs.
The ceiling.
Going into the yes. playoffs was the expectation to go to the AFC title game.
Not last year, but this is a different year.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting.
After all the injuries, I understand where last year, I understand where we got to a point where it's like, man, the fact that this team made the playoffs last year, that was successful in its own right. And I understand that that Texans game was disappointing. It was. But I think most people, like, after a week of sort of, you know, licking their wounds, were like, okay, it was still a good season given everything that happened. This year, if you fall short of, if they don't win the division to me, like, fine, I don't care. But I'm seriously, like, to me, the standard is AFC Championship game because that's how good this team's supposed to be. They keep telling us they built for now. The roster's so deep. They have all, like, what did you build for if your goal is just, well, let's just get back to the playoffs for the second consecutive year. That'll be fun.
Let's just do the thing we haven't done since
1988, 1989. You're living in the past. You're like, oh, all those years where we sucked, this is enough.
Okay, you're also not acknowledging the most recent past. Listen,
that
all I'm
stuff
saying
doesn't
is,
matter to
there's
now.
There's a difference between expectations and educated wishes. And that's the difference in what I'm saying and you're saying.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.